Our guest today is House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan. Chairman Jordan was in the deposition this week with Hunter Biden, and he joins us now. Mr. Chairman, thanks so much for being with us. I know you're busy as you can be, but we appreciate your time. I want to start with, first of all, your impression of Hunter Biden's appearance before your committee.
Well, the House rules prohibit us from getting into specifics, but I can say this. There were a number of things that he said that were just directly contradictory to what we got from other witnesses, and frankly, from some of the evidence we've seen. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway I got from it. I think also it sort of provides us some, I think, valuable information, sort of a roadmap, if you will, if in fact we have a public hearing, which we're discussing now. So that was my main takeaway. But nothing Hunter Biden said yesterday, I think, changes the fundamental facts of the Bidens were peddling this. I call it the money, the business, the brand. It was access to the brand that I think has been so critical. And that's what they had all these companies doing, all this money coming in. And then the case study, I think, the most telling case study, of course, is the actions then Vice President Biden took relative to the prosecutor in Ukraine and the pressure that prosecutor was applying to Burisma, the company Hunter Biden sat on the board of and was paid $1 million a year, when the vice president leveraged and conditioned the release of American tax money on the firing of that very prosecutor. I think that's the case study and how this all kind of fits together.
And your reaction when Hunter Biden began in his opening statement by saying that his father didn't have anything to do with his business dealings?
Well, there's numerous phone calls. We knew that from Devin Archer. There's pictures of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and his business partners on the golf course. There's testimony that says Joe Biden stopped by lunches and had dinners with foreign individuals who Hunter Biden and his partners were doing business with. So that doesn't seem to square with, again, what we've heard from previous witnesses. Some of those witnesses were, in fact, partners. I mean, Devin Archer, Rob Walker, partners of Hunter Biden, and that's what they've testified to. So, again, I can't get into all the specifics of yesterday's testimony until we actually release the transcript, because those are the House rules.
And as you listen to Hunter Biden respond, there was great interest, of course, in whether or not he would acknowledge the fact that this was a contest for democracy, making some remarkable statements before the hearing, saying that his sobriety was key to the survival of democracy. I've never heard such an outlandish statement or such a narcissistic statement I can't remember one that would top that.
Yeah, here's what I know about statements, too. Statements from the White House and statements from David Weiss and the Justice Department keep changing. I mean, remember what Joe Biden told us a few years ago? He said, I never spoke to my son about any of his business dealings. Well, then that changed to the White House saying, well, Joe Biden was never in business with his son. And then, of course, late last year, when Hunter Biden failed to appear when we had subpoenaed him to come in and testify, he said in his press conference, my father was never financially involved in my business. So their story keeps changing. David Weiss and the Justice Department on how they've handled this investigation and what authorities they had, that keeps changing. But one thing I've noticed is the whistleblower's testimony has not wavered. It has not changed, and they've stood up to a cross-examination. Tony Bobulinski, who came forward 4 years ago, his testimony, his statements have not changed, and I think stood up to examination when he came in for his deposition. So, yeah, you get some statements from the Bidens and the White House and from the Justice Department that don't seem to be too consistent.
And talking about Bobulinski, his early statements back in the earliest days of this mess, right after the election, in point of fact, he had more insight into what was going on, and had anyone really listened to him, and I'm talking about in the national news media, history might have been changed. What do you think?
Well, yeah, because this happened in the context of the presidential election. Things that Tony Bobulinski said that were not really reported or even much covered by the mainstream media.
Right.
And then, of course, you couple that with this false narrative about the Hunter Biden laptop, where 51 former intel officials put together a statement that said this has all the earmarks of a Russian information operation, which was baloney. And then that got peddled by the mainstream press, and polling and common sense tell us that if the American people had known the truth about the laptop at the time, it would have likely changed the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. So, yeah, those are all concerns about how things were reported. False information was given to we the people in the run-up to the most important election we have, election for president.
Absolutely. And then it comes full circle here these years later. And the Democrats are right now saying that you are being being taken by Russian propaganda. They don't seem to have another tool in their box, do they? This is always about Russian propaganda, and it shows a certain affection for the propaganda that the Dems gin up and spread across this country, because this came from the DNC and from the Clinton campaign originally.
Yeah, 2016, it was, you know, Trump colluded with Russia, and we had a $30 million investigation by Robert Mueller with 19 lawyers and 40 agents and all this. They found nothing, because there was nothing there. There was no collusion, no coordination, no conspiracy whatsoever. Then in 2020 is what I just talked about. It was, oh, the laptop was a Russian information operation, which was baloney. And now they're trying it again. You know, I guess they just, here we go one more time. So, the Democrats have the same old playbook. I think the American people are smart. And the American people also see, frankly, that what we had under President Trump was a president who could project strength from the Oval Office, who did what he said he was going to do. We had a roaring economy, a secure border. We had $2 gas, not $4 gas. And now we compare that to Joe Biden. And I think the American people are going to put President Trump back in the White House.
Well, I think you're right about that. Certainly, I agree with the assessment that he is absolutely critical to this country's continued existence. I want to turn to the House Republicans, the subpoena for the Joe Biden special counsel records and the importance of those in the congressional investigation.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Hur, special counsel, in his report, in his investigation, says Joe Biden willfully, intentionally, deliberately took classified documents, mishandled classified documents over a period of, over decades of time while he was in the Senate, while he was vice president. He willfully, intentionally did that. Then he willfully, intentionally, deliberately gave that information, some of that classified material, to his ghostwriter who was writing his book. And yet Robert Hur says, I'm not going to prosecute because Joe Biden is an old guy who can't remember and will be sympathetic to a jury. And the Democrats have said, oh, well, that you can't say that, Mr. Special Counsel. That's gratuitous comments about the president's state of mind and his forgetfulness. You can't say that because it's not true. Well, what we've said is give us the material. Let us see. Let the American people see the audio tapes of how when you interviewed Joe Biden, what he had to say, and other documents that you used, Mr. Hur, in your investigation. So that's why we've asked for that information. We think the American people, you got two different perspectives here. We think the American people are entitled to see.
And an additional data point, we have the president's annual physical, his doctor, Dr. Kevin O'Connor, saying that he is in very good shape and that he has no new ailments from the last physical a year ago. But he did not advise a cognitive test. Your thoughts about that omission from his overall examination?
I mean, I leave that up to the White House and to the Biden family and the president in his position. But what I do know is what we the people of this great country, and frankly, I think foreign heads of state, what we all see, and it's sad. And I don't like to talk about it because you want your president, even though I disagree with Joe Biden's policies and positions, you want the president of our country, the greatest country ever, to be up to the task. But I think anyone with common sense can frankly see that he's just not.